You know that feeling when you're sitting in a terminal surrounded by $8 water bottles and every seat within range of an outlet is taken by someone who got there before you? That's not an accident, that's a design choice. And a handful of carriers have decided they're done letting that be the experience for their best customers. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about what Delta is quietly building at Los Angeles International and why it says something significant about where the airline industry is putting its money. Before we get into it, today's show is brought to you by AviationSold.com. If you've earned a milestone in aviation, a first solo, a check ride, an instrument rating, a type rating, anything that cost you blood and sweat and early mornings, AviationSold makes challenge coins built to mark exactly that. Not generic, not off a shelf. Built for pilots by people who get what those milestones mean. AviationSold.com. All right, Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, one of the busiest airports in the world, a connecting hub for trans-Pacific traffic, and historically, one of the more chaotic passenger experiences you can have in American aviation. It's getting better. They've been renovating terminals, adding infrastructure, working through a multi-billion dollar modernization push, but it's still LAX. It's still a lot. Delta Airlines has two terminal complexes at LAX, Terminals 2 and 3, plus the Tom Bradley International Terminal when they're operating wide-body international routes. And for the past couple of years, Delta has been operating what they call the Delta One Lounge, a dedicated premium ground facility specifically for passengers flying in their Delta One business class cabin. Not the standard Sky Club, something separate. Something elevated, the first Delta One lounge at LAX opened in Terminal 3 and set a pretty high bar. We're talking about a spa, a full restaurant with a real menu cooked to order, a dedicated security lane, showers, quiet rooms, the works. The concept was borrowed partly from what you see at international carriers, Cathay Pacific's The Pier, Singapore Airlines' Silvercrest Lounge, and Delta decided to build something that could compete at that level on American soil. Now, according to reporting from Simple Flying, Delta has quietly been preparing to open a second Delta One lounge at LAX. And the way they've been doing it is interesting. They reportedly invited airline employees in to test the space, walk through it, use it, give feedback before opening the doors to paying passengers. That's a soft launch strategy. Keep it low profile, work out the kinks, don't make a big announcement, and then have a rough opening week. Here's what you need to know about why a second lounge matters at the same airport. LAX isn't one building. It's a horseshoe of individual terminals, and moving between them, depending on where you are in your journey, can mean going through security again, or navigating a connector that isn't always convenient. Delta's terminal footprint spans more than one physical location, so having only one premium lounge meant that some Delta One passengers, depending on their gate assignment, had a longer hike to access the facility. A second location solves that. It's a coverage problem as much as a capacity problem. And capacity is real. Business class travel has rebounded strongly since the pandemic. Premium cabins have been the profit engine for major carriers over the last 3 years. Airlines have been talking publicly about the outperformance of premium revenue, Delta included. When your highest yield passengers are also your most frequent flyers, the ground experience starts to matter almost as much as what happens at 35,000 feet. These passengers are comparing notes. They talk to each other. They know what Lufthansa's Senator Lounge looks like. They know what Emirates does at Dubai. And if Delta wants to hold them or pull them away from United's Polaris product, the lounge is part of that conversation. United, for context, has been making aggressive moves on the premium ground side as well. Their Polaris lounge at O'Hare is widely considered one of the better domestic premium lounges in the country. American has been investing in Admirals Club renovations at several key hubs. Alaska Airlines opened their flagship lounge in Seattle. The ground experience is now a competitive differentiator in a way it wasn't 15 years ago, when a crown room with a tiered buffet and free Wi-Fi was considered acceptable. What Delta seems to understand, and this is worth paying attention to, is that the lounge experience is increasingly part of the product, not an amenity bolted on afterward. When you buy a Delta One seat across the Pacific, you're buying more than the flatbed. You're buying the whole journey from the moment you arrive at the airport. The check-in experience, the security lane, the lounge, the boarding process. Delta has been engineering all of those touch points, not just the seat itself. Now, from a strictly pilot perspective standpoint, you might be thinking, what does a business class lounge have to do with me? Fair question. A few things, actually. If you're a commuter pilot, or a regional pilot positioning for a trip, or an airline pilot deadheading in uniform, you know that the airport experience is something you navigate constantly, just from a different angle than the passenger in seat 2A. The infrastructure improvements that come with premium lounge expansion often have downstream effects on the broader terminal environment. Delta investing in LAX at this scale is part of a larger picture of the airport evolving. But more broadly, as pilots and aviation enthusiasts, understanding where the airlines are putting their money tells you something about where the industry is heading. And right now, the story is pretty clear. Premium is where the investment is, wide-body international flying is recovering, and then some. The carriers that built out their premium products aggressively in the last 3 or 4 years are now harvesting that investment. And that cycle is going to continue, which means more aircraft orders for wide-body jets, more route development on trans-Pacific and transatlantic corridors, more competition for passengers who have choices. For the Los Angeles market specifically, that matters. LAX is a gateway airport. It's where a significant portion of trans-Pacific traffic moves. Airlines compete hard for that passenger because the yield on a trans-Pacific business class seat is substantial. The Delta One Lounge, both of them, is Delta saying to that passenger, before you even board, we want you to feel like you made the right choice. Let's talk a little about LAX itself, because the airport context matters here. Los Angeles World Airports, the agency that operates LAX, has been in the middle of a significant capital improvement program for several years now. The new Automated People Mover, which they call the Automated People Mover, or APM, is designed to connect the terminals to a new consolidated rental car facility and to Metro Rail. That project has been years in the making and is getting closer to operational status. The Tom Bradley International Terminal has received significant upgrades. The North and South concourses have been modernized, and individual airlines have been investing in their own terminal spaces concurrent with the airport's broader work. Delta specifically has been part of the Terminal 2 and 3 modernization at LAX since the project kicked off. They've been a major tenant in that part of the airport for a long time, and their investment in the premium lounge facilities is consistent with a carrier that views LAX as a core international gateway, not just a domestic connection hub. What this simple flying report highlights that employees were invited in for a soft preview before public opening is also a signal about Delta's operational culture right now. That kind of internal beta testing before a public launch suggests someone in the organization is serious about getting the experience right before it goes live. When you open a premium facility and the first reviews from actual passengers are negative, that spreads fast. Social media has made word of mouth instant and global. A poor opening week at a flagship lounge creates a news cycle you don't want. An internal preview lets you catch the things you couldn't catch on a blueprint. It also builds employee pride. When your frontline staff have actually been inside the facility they're selling, when they've eaten the food, used the showers, sat in the chairs, they talk about it differently than if they've just read a memo about it. That's a smart move, whether it was intentional as a culture play or just operationally pragmatic. Now, there's a business question underneath all of this that doesn't get talked about as often as it should. These premium lounges are expensive to build and expensive to operate. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars for the construction alone, and then ongoing operating costs for staffing, food and beverage, utilities, maintenance. The Delta One Lounge model is predicated on a restricted access policy. You can only get in if you're booked in a Delta One cabin on an eligible flight. No upgrade, no credit card access. This is not a sky club with a velvet rope. It's a genuinely separate tier. That restriction is actually part of the value proposition. The overcrowding problem that has hit airport lounges broadly, and it is a real problem. If you've been to a Priority Pass lounge at a busy airport recently, you know exactly what I mean. That problem is managed by limiting who can walk in the door. Fewer people, better experience, higher cost per head to operate justified by the revenue per seat on the flights those passengers are boarding. Delta has been very deliberate about protecting that model. They've been tightening Sky Club access policies at the same time they've been building the Delta One lounges. It's a two-tier strategy, Sky Club for the broader premium ecosystem. Delta One Lounge for the top of the pyramid. The question going forward is whether the other majors follow. United has Polaris lounges in select locations. American has been slower to build at that tier. The carriers that get this right in the next few years are going to have a meaningful advantage in premium passenger loyalty, and that translates directly to revenue for those of us watching the industry. And if you're listening to ATIS, you're watching the industry, the Delta LAX story is a small story on the surface. A lounge opened or is about to open or is quietly preparing to open, but underneath it, there's a larger pattern about how legacy carriers are repositioning themselves in a post-pandemic world where the premium cabin is the margin, the economy cabin is the volume, and the ground experience is increasingly the differentiator. Pay attention to where the money goes in aviation. That's usually the story. A quick note on sources. Simple Flying had the reporting on the LAX lounge situation. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Clear skies.